Now, this is where you're supposed to say, well, hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Pat.
Yeah, I see you, but I don't see Houston. Where would he be?
The question of the day.
Is that any... Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's fine. Where were you?
Oh, I thought I was right there. Well, I have no idea.
You're here now.
Oh. So
you can start over, I guess. Okay.
Anyway, from the Little Ranch House Studios on Sample Drive in Lufkin, Texas, it's the Blind Handyman Show. And it's show number 181 today, folks, November 28th. We've got an hour to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. It's all designed with the blind in mind.
Yeah.
Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, Tom Houston, what's going on today?
Oh, I'm trying to have this headset, and I think I'm fixing to take it off and put the receiver up to me.
Something's cutting in and out somewhere.
Okay, well, let me switch over real quick. It won't take...
Well, let's introduce Don. Here's Don Patterson with us also on the telephone. Don?
Well, hi there from the little annex in Hudson, Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
From the Blind Handyman Annex in Hudson, Texas.
That's right. Crawled off my deathbed.
To come and be with us.
To be with you guys.
Be
today.
With us on... Do what?
I said to be with y'all today.
Yeah, let's see. Is that better, Tom?
Yeah.
That's much better.
Better as far as I'm concerned on this end.
That is much better. We have you loud and clear, and we're glad to have you with us.
Oh, okay. It's certainly nice to be here.
Say hi to your friend, Don Patterson.
Well, hi, Don Patterson.
Hi there, Thomas. How are you?
Good to have you here by your well. The telephone, I would think, right?
That is correct.
And you got up out of a sick bed.
Yes, this is round five. What a trooper. Huh?
What a trooper.
Yeah, this is round five of the influenza. I don't know what the deal is, you know?
Well, you may have to go to the doctor and find out then.
That's possible.
That's entirely possible. Yeah.
My name's Tom Houston, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the creator and a producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr. Boy, what a start.
What a start. We're off to a rather rocky start here.
I had a brilliant idea. I was going to move the phone in here that I can plug my little duophone headset into. And I did that, but I didn't check it out first.
There's something in and out on that little headset or something.
Yeah, well, for one thing, I've had it for years and years and years. I was surprised it worked at all.
You have?
Yeah. Well, you remember, it's been around here. It's the same one I used way back when.
Back when you were calling agencies and trying to sell them something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's been a long time ago.
That has been a long time ago. We're glad we're out of that business. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with our weekly Panther report, here's Don Patterson.
that had to be the most miserable game I've ever encountered in my life for someone to be billed as a top contender for maybe the number one high school team in the entire United States.
Really?
Some other team showed up, but then because the score was 38-25, our team lost, but I'm telling you, the score indicates it was a closer than it really was. They got just a good old-fashioned country whipping. And, I mean, they could not do anything right.
Now, these guys scored on their first drive. We couldn't stop them.
Their first three drives, I think, they scored. I don't think they punted but twice. Seems like maybe three times, but I think, yeah, we couldn't stop their passing game nor their running game, and we couldn't execute either of those two things on our offense. We have been an excellent passing team, but man, nothing clicked.
Nothing worked.
Mm-mm.
Nothing clicked, no matter what we did, and they did everything. You know, we've seen Lufkin down 21-0 at halftime and come back and win the game.
Right.
But we thought they were, to hell, we were down, 18?
21-0. I mean, 21, I think we
seven.
Scored seven.
21-7 at halftime, and we thought, well, now, Outlaw, our coach's name is Outlaw, by the way. only in Lufkin. We thought he'll get them cranked up during the halftime. But, boys, it was not to be.
I think what broke their spirit, aside from the fact they just couldn't get it together, is when he did the go for it on fourth down deep in his own territory early in the third quarter. That was probably the worst call of the season because they didn't make it, and then that team scored immediately, and so that just really kind of broke the score.
Well, the other guys had gone for it on fourth down and made it.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, hell, we can do that, and we tried it, and it didn't work.
No.
It was just miserable. They were undefeated until Saturday, the
yes.
undefeated Lufkin Panthers.
Yes.
Until Saturday. I know you folks in Australia are really interested in this.
Yeah.
High school football. But we had 10,000 people down there Saturday to see them lose.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. I mean, it's pretty sad.
You ought to be pretty happy, Phil, about the Texas A&M score.
A&M beat it. I don't know what score was, but I knew A&M won the game.
12-7.
12-7.
Uh-huh. I told you if they were going to do it, this was a good year to do it.
You did say that A&M had a shot this year, and everybody else said, oh, no, certainly not. They couldn't beat the mighty Longhorns, but by God, they did, didn't they?
They sure enough did.
How about the Rice Owls going to a bowl game for the first time in, what, 41 years?
My God in heaven.
The Rice Owls.
The Rice Owls. Yeah.
That is rather unbelievable, isn't it? Anyway, Tommy's has list mail, do you?
I do indeed. This is one on gutter guard.
All right.
He says, I've about had it cleaning out gutters. I have to clean the ones in the front of the house at least twice a year. The others don't need to be cleaned but every couple of years since they're on the second story of the house above the trees that I do have. My question is, can these gutter guards be installed by a totally blind person? The price won't be an issue. I probably have a stretch of about 40 feet across the front of the house on the lower level above the garage and front porch that need to have some kind of protection against the leaves from a birch tree. And this is Bryce sends us this.
This is Bryce Midgers. What he needs is the K-Guard system that Gordon used to sell, right?
Well, yeah, that's what he needs. But, I mean, I think he wants a quicker fix than that.
So what does he want to do? Put screen on them?
Undoubtedly. That's what it sounds like, yes, sir.
Well, I didn't put my screen on, but I've looked at it, and I see no reason why you couldn't.
I think they just, it's depending on which gutter he has, but some of them just kind of snap in there or either just lay in there on a little lip. You know, the little screen mesh. I know in some of the PVC gutters, I think the screen maybe snaps on or something, and then, like I say, on the metal gutters,
yeah,
it just lays in there.
Mine are aluminum, and I think they just sort of lay in there,
yeah.
And then they're slipped up under the shingles, I'm pretty sure, on the edge there. And that screen slipped up under the edge of the shingles?
I don't know if that is. You know, the gutter is the part is something that's, I'm not really sure about that. Could be.
I believe that screen is slipped up under the shingles, and I don't see any reason why a blind person couldn't. There's just nothing there that would keep a blind person from doing it, is there?
I don't know. And then again, see, I've never done it. I don't know how length. I don't know if they come in 8-foot lengths. You know, your gutters anymore now, they make them these seamless gutters where they cut them. You know, you need a 42-foot long gutter. They make it that way. But
yeah, that's what this guy did when he did our gutters. I mean, he just cut the lengths we needed and put it up there.
But the screens, I don't know how that comes. Where's Gordon when you need him?
Yeah. Well, we could contact Gordon.
We could use him today. That's exactly right.
Well, I don't think he has much to do anymore. We could.
Yeah. We might could commission him up there.
We could probably have him go up there and fix the guy's gutters. I forget where Bryce lives. We've had him on the show a couple of times.
Sure have.
Anyway, David Farron responded to that.
Wow. Handyman Dave.
Undoubtedly, he has messed with them before because he says that he should be able to install them just fine all by himself. There are a couple of different types of gutter guards to consider. I personally like the downspout guards that simply sit right in where the downspout connects to the crosspiece. Other folks like the kind that look like a long, flat, narrow mesh kind of a deal. They're a bit of a pain to slide under all those spines or whatever they're called to hold them in place, but it is possible. And if you put those in, I suggest doing a complete job of it so not too many leaves get underneath them and still cause you some trouble. David Farron.
Well, of course, even with the screen, you collect leaves on top of that screen, and you got to brush them off.
Oh,
yeah. It's not like digging crap out of the gutter, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. What he needs is K-Guard, that same system Gordon had.
Exactly.
And I bet there's somebody in town that sells that.
I bet there
you
is.
Or
the gutter topper, you know. Gordon has his hand in that also. They have what they call the gutter topper that they can put on over regular gutters.
I'd look in the phone book and see if there wasn't somebody in my town that sold K-Guard and tell them Gordon sent you.
Yeah.
That'll probably really help. Go ahead.
Okay, this is about covering a window air conditioner with a trash bag.
This girl
says, how do you go about covering a window AC with a trash bag? Can I use masking tape or do I need some duct tape? I seem to have accidentally misplaced the cover that came with it, and it's easier if I can leave it in the window. Thanks for your help, Vicky.
Yeah, I wonder which Vicky this is. I wonder if this is Vicky's Technic or which. I just wondered. I saw that. I wondered which Vicky it was. I don't know. Duct tape. Duct tape is cheap, and boy, it does a good job. You know.
Yeah, unless you leave it on too long. If you leave it stuck to a surface, then you may have problems getting the duct tape off. But it should definitely hold the plastic cover on. No doubt about that.
But I might go try to find a little heavier trash bag than just a plain old thin trash bag. That's going to...
Yeah, or like one of these, a heavy sheet of some kind of plastic or something would be...
Yeah, they used to make this stuff called Bisqueen that you could buy big rolls of.
Yeah, and it was heavy.
And it was heavy stuff.
Yep.
So you might go to the hardware store or go to Lowe's or Home Depot and look for some of that. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, you know, I guess because by weather and stuff down here, I've never really done that before.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I haven't either.
But I would almost be tempted, too, to maybe get some kind of styrofoam and do it from the inside. If he's going to do it from the outside, if you had a little styrofoam thing, you could slip over the inside part. Might work just as well.
That would probably work just as well. What she's trying to do, I guess, is keep cold air from coming in that window.
Yeah.
It might be
easier to cover from the inside.
It might be easier to slip something down in there from the inside than it would to try to do something from the outside. But a duct tape and a big, heavy piece of plastic probably do your job, Vicky.
Yep.
All right?
Okay. Here's one that says, Aloha. My friend has one of those lamps with a large, round magnifying glass in the center.
Oh, my goodness.
Has a tube like light that goes around the outside of the glass.
Yes, sir.
Somehow, she's managed to scratch the magnifying glass. Any ideas about smoothing out the scratch? Thanks, Betsy.
Now, is that a Torchere lamp, Thomas?
Is that a Torchere lamp?
That she's talking about, those round lamps. Remember when you got on that kick?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Boy, you got on that big time.
She didn't mention it being a Torchere.
Well, it's a round...
But it is the same type of deal.
It's exactly the same kind of deal.
Good.
I don't know. How would you polish glass and get a scratch out of it? I have no idea. Anybody know? Looking out there in the audience.
You got me.
We do have a good long response, and we need one because this is the last one.
We'll certainly take a good long response.
Okay. It says, I bet, see, it depends on how deep the scratches are. If you can catch your fingernail on the scratch in the glass, it's probably too deep to remove. Hairline or very light scratches can be removed or lightened using an abrasive compound.
Mm-hmm.
Start by using an automotive polishing compound or whitening type toothpaste. Hand rub in a circular motion. It may take a while to make any progress. There are also special glass polishing compounds available from a glass company you can use, or you can use iron oxide, also called jeweler's rouge or polishing rouge,
mm-hmm.
which is a very fine dark red powder available at hobby shops or jewelry supply stores. Mix 1 ounce of iron oxide into a paste with 1 ounce of glycerin and an ounce of water. Put a small amount on a cloth and rub the scratches. Wash it off with clear water from time to time to check your progress. It may take a while to see the results. Be careful not to apply too much pressure, or you could shatter the glass. If you use a glass polishing compound, you can use a power buffer. This requires a lot of pressure and is recommended only for mirrors or glass that can be removed and laid flat and supported from underneath.
Well, yeah. If you're going to use a buffer.
That's right. Another option is to contact a glass company. Have your glass professionally buffed. However, if the scratches are too deep, they will be permanently etched into the glass and will be permanent.
This is a lamp, folks.
In that case, your only option is to replace the glass. Hope this helps, Ray.
Yeah, that's Ray Boyce, right? Obviously.
It must be.
He Googled that and went and figured out how to do it, right?
Yeah, undoubtedly you did.
And answered the little girl from Hawaii's question. And you can't blame Ray for that. But here's the thing. It's just a lamp. Why don't you go to Walmart and buy a new one?
Yeah, that would be the thing to do.
Looks like to me it would be the thing to do. Don, are you still alive?
Yes, I'm here. I was just going to say you could turn it around to where people couldn't see the scratch. You know.
But if you can catch your fingernail in it, it's probably too big.
Well, you know, when you put those things in or take them out, they say do not touch them with the human hand.
Yeah.
In fact, the one I had, and I've only owned one in my life, but the one I had, you just put a piece of cloth that you handled everything with, a little soft piece of cloth.
But they get hot.
Oh, Lord.
They generate a lot of light, but they also generate a lot of heat. I think you gave Luann one for her birthday one time.
I did. I thought they were the coming thing at the time.
You did. You were on them. You went to Jackie's, and she had two or three of them or something.
I did. I saw one in Birmingham, and I thought, well, that thing sure gives off a lot of light. And I wasn't around it very long to realize how much heat it gave off also.
Oh, man. You couldn't use them in the summertime.
No.
They were, you know, I could go in the room, walk over and buy it, and tell if she'd left it on. She finally ended up putting it by her bed. And I could tell you, you know, from 5 feet away if it's on. That's how much heat it generates.
They do produce a lot of heat.
Oh, man, lots of heat. Well, all right, sir. All right, let's see. Which line are you on? You're on that one right there. You're on two, so I'm going to cut the guest on two. We're going to hold Pat over if he lives.
Yeah.
and let you go. And we thank you. And
yes, sir.
I guess we'll see. The sun's out now. Yeah, you could have come.
yeah, the sun's out right now.
It's
that's
a day.
What I was
day.
Thinking before we ever started. I looked out the window and I said, my.
It's pretty
good. Here
bad.
We go again.
I just walked to the house and got a locked the house, got a drink, and it's just pretty as it can be out there. All right, sir. We'll check with you next week. Thanks, Tommy.
See you guys.
All right. Thank you much. And we'll take a little break and get our guests on. Our guest, Don Shaw, and I don't know his last name. We know his name is...
It's Lenny. Leonard.
Leonard. Leonard. We don't
I'm
remember.
Not sure.
We don't know his last name. We read about this guy in a newspaper from this little site called Blind News, and I called the newspaper, or emailed the newspaper lady, and she sent me his contact information, so we're going to have Lenny on in just a few minutes. Hang on. Those announcers we used to have that welcome you back and say, now here's, with more of the Blind Animal Show, here's Don Patterson.
Yeah, whatever happened to those people?
I found them this morning, in fact, lurking in my disc thing here.
You mean they have been lost?
And we're going to edit them and try to have them back after the holidays.
That's right.
They're on strike. They're on strike till after the holidays.
All right.
Our announcer guys.
Yeah.
All righty. We have a guest. We want to say hi to Lenny. How are you, sir?
Fine, and yourself?
Doing quite well. You know, we don't know. We have failed to find out your last name.
Oh, Mick Hill. That's M-C, capital H-U-G-H.
Mick Hill?
Mick Hill, yes.
McHugh.
Now what?
McHugh. Yes.
Okay. I don't know why we didn't do that. Why we should have taken care of that before we got on the air. What part of the country are you in, sir?
Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It's on the eastern part of PA, about 100 miles away from Philadelphia.
Is that right? You know, we have, it's really funny because we have an inordinate amount of people on the blind like me list. I guess there's a half a dozen folks from Pennsylvania, and I don't know why that is. I guess words just spreads. It's a nice blue state.
Yeah.
And we're happy about that.
Yeah.
What is your level of vision, Lenny?
Light perception.
And that's it?
Yes.
Has it always been that way?
No. As a kid, I have RP, retinitis pigmentosa, and I gradually, over the years, I was losing my sight.
Uh-huh.
I don't know when I got to the point on light perception. The change is so gradual that...
That who knows, yeah.
Yeah, I never even...
Just kind of gradually lost
all of a sudden, hey, I can't see the building across the street.
Yeah, and maybe I guess I'm blind now.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to take a course yet.
And so, but you still have light perception.
Yes.
Was there ever... There was a time when you could see full, when you could see what they call perfect to other.
Well, I never had perfect, but I did have...
Damn close.
I went to public schools and I was able to read print with very close.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
that kind of thing.
But it never was. You never could drive the cars.
No.
Stuff like that that we all dream of doing. It all blind people but me want to do. I never did want to drive the car. A lot of them did. What did you? What was your? I read about you in a little newspaper article about you. And I can't remember what paper it was in. I guess your hometown local paper there?
Yes.
And what were they talking about you doing?
Well, I just recently got a trekker unit.
And, okay.
I love it. I have it about 3 weeks now.
Now, this is the GPS
yes.
setup.
Yes.
Where you can walk around and it tells you actually tells you exactly where you are.
Yes, it tells you the streets and, well, Pottsville, this town, it's not a very big town. And,
yeah.
I'm born and raised here, and I learned things about the town that I never knew.
I think that's what the article said, that you never knew existed.
Like, for instance, there's an alley behind my house, and from kid up, everybody has always referred to that as the alley, behind the Wooden Street or,
uh-huh.
And here, it's Stout Street. I never knew it. I walked up a truck and next thing said, I'm on Stout Street. I'm like, okay, where is Stout Street? And I realized, hey, I'm on this alley.
And that was the alley, and you didn't know that was back there, or you?
Well, I knew the alley was there, but, it was always, everybody called it an alley.
I didn't know the name.
Yeah, I never knew it had a name.
Yeah.
But it's actually has a name.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. And you've lived there all your life?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But this thing, what is this thing is quite expensive, right?
Yes, it is.
I guess the Lions Club helped you with that or something?
No, I didn't. I bought it through, I have a guide dog, Indy, and I'm a member of GDUI.
Oh, yeah.
They had a program that if you bought it through GDUI, you got $100 off the price of it,
uh-huh.
Plus GDUI also gets $100 from...
Oh, yeah.
From Humanware.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw that somewhere. Yeah.
So it was a win-win situation as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, for both parties. Yeah.
So obviously, Lenny, when you got this then, it didn't know anything about your town. Did you have to program it or load it with some kind of software or something?
Not with the software. I had to load it with the Pennsylvania map.
Okay, of the state.
Yes.
Okay.
And what I have loaded into it, even though I really don't do that much traveling, I have basically New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey,
uh-huh.
Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, West Virginia, Washington, D.C., all loaded in it. So basically every street in those states, plus points of interest like restaurant. If you walk down the street, okay, a restaurant's on your left or, different points of interest are
mm-hmm.
in it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, how close will it get you to someplace you know pretty much where you're going, and you get there, does it say, we're here? What does it say when you get to...
It gets it pretty close. Like, for instance, I created a point of interest in front of my home. just to play with it. And
yeah,
it's his home. So all of a sudden, I walk on the street, it'd say, you're near home.
Uh-huh.
I would say, you're just about there. Or,
how are you doing?
That's how my wife gets home. She gets a little, I guess, a little embarrassed at times when I, just out of fun, it will start telling me something. I'll talk back to her. No, I know where I'm at, dummy. You know?
Yeah. So you have a guide dog and the trekker.
Yes.
You're double covered, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, they're not going to get you lost, buddy boy.
I just,
out in the woods or whatever you happen to want to do.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think, didn't this article mention that you also do some do you do woodwork or do you do wood?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I was playing a great deal. The weather in Pennsylvania was fabulous here today. So
is that right?
I was down in the basement playing with my table saws and stuff all morning, and then I just came back from about a half-hour walk with Trekker and Indy, and quick came up here.
Walk with Trekker and your guide dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. What sort of stuff do you build in your shop with your saws?
Well, right now I'm making some Christmas gifts and decorations. I'm helping my wife make she's in a group where they try to make things for an exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making a wooden planter bird box. It has a birdhouse on both ends and a planter in the center.
Okay.
And the other thing I'm making, I'm going to make one for, I made two for my house last year. It's like a wooden, it's a decoration, like a carriage light, you know, with a candle in it.
Uh-huh.
Electric candle and stuff, but I'm making, making those right now.
Now, this birdhouse, I mean, this planter with a birdhouse on each end, does that hang somewhere?
Yes, it hangs.
Or it hangs somewhere, and so the birds on each end, and you have flowers or something planted in between them?
Yes.
How did you know how to make that? Did you buy one and look at it, or how do you know how to make that?
Well, my wife, Karen, is really good at this kind of stuff. She'll see something in the book and say, I want you to make this, and then they'll describe it to me, or if she can get some plans.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the plans that they make are on it. I'll modify them. Maybe I don't have the right, at the time I didn't have the tools I needed to do some of it. I figured another way of doing it. But I just get the general idea from a description that she'll give me or some instructions that she'll read to me, and then I'll modify them.
Mm-hmm. And so, but you don't buy things and like I bought a kit one time, didn't build a picnic table. I just used the pieces as patterns and built a dozen.
No, I didn't do that. No, I just.
They tell you about Karen will tell you about something and you'll kind of conceptualize it and build it.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
That is. That's neat.
That's really good. And that's how you got the idea of this birdhouse with the birdhouses with a planter in the middle.
Yes.
I wonder what kind of wood did you use for that? Like if it was a planter, obviously it's going to encounter some water, I guess, if you put that kind of plant in it. I wonder if you used some special kind of wood or...
I'm just using pine. I use pine on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, not for the birdhouse, not the best grade.
Yeah.
But basically it's about 28 and 29 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And overall would be about 5.5 inches wide.
And the birdhouses have little gable roofs on them, like little birdhouses do. Little gables on each end.
Yeah.
And so those are relatively easy to make, and a hole in the front where the bird can go in, and a little perch above the hole, little dowel above the.
Well, no perch.
No perch.
I did a lot of reading about birdhouses even before I did this thing, and every article I read on the internet, they said if you ever want a bird to go in it, they highly recommend do not put a perch on it because a predator could use the perch to get in.
So don't put a perch on your birdhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I've ever seen has a perch on it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I know, but
you know,
a perch, but no bird.
No
birds in the house.
Well, you know, I don't know. These two that are hanging out here that I built have that my grandkids painted. I have to go around and see if they have perches. I don't think we've ever had any birds live in them. Maybe that's
a wasp nest or something.
Maybe that's
probably
the problem. Yeah. But the birds don't like.
It also depends on the color that we're painted, too. The color has a lot to do with it.
As to whether birds will live in it?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Attracting certain kinds of birds to the.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So certain colors will are birds don't like, I guess.
No,
huh?
I guess they want things that I guess are going to look more natural, than more of a natural look than anything else.
Well, heaven knows what color these grandkids painted.
Oh, yeah, no telling.
I wasn't in on that. I just built them, and Kimberly said, we ought to paint these, Papa. Okay, well, why don't you do that? And so,
it's funny you mentioned about letting your grandkids paint.
Yeah.
With all my power tools, routers, table saws, sliding saws, and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to use all those, but my wife, I'm not allowed to touch a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I hear you.
We've done, I don't think you're very familiar with what we do. We've done, this is show 181.
Yep, 181.
We've done 181 hours of this blind, just like we're talking to you. We do this every week. We have a guest every week, just like you. And we have determined that blind people can't paint.
Just can't paint.
I mean, you can't, if you're totally blind, buddy, you can't paint.
Yeah.
End of story.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it and mulled it over, and we've had guys that try. You could stain, because it doesn't make any difference how much of that you get where. But blind people can't, you know, there's one thing they can't do is paint.
And you could paint at it, but that's just not saying that you might get a good paint job.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to get a good paint job.
Yeah, I don't think she likes the Picasso look. I'm like,
you've got a skirt neck going, and what kind of power tools, what tools do you have?
Let's see, I have a 10-inch table saw, 8 1/4-inch sliding miter saw.
Oh, yeah.
Nice saw.
Yeah. I have a 12-speed drill press.
Okay.
A small hand router, and then a pretty more of a heftier one that I use in a router table.
That's in a router table?
Yep.
Okay. Belt sander.
Yeah, belt sander.
Yep.
Nice shop.
Pardon?
Nice shop,
yeah.
It sounds like.
And a large dust collection system.
Yeah, I bet you need that at being in the basement.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one. I never use it, but I've got a really nice shop vac that I just let the kids come out there and clean up every once in a while.
Well, I got a little afraid of because of, again, with the small basement and then oil heat
and
a gas water heater that.
Yeah, not a good combination with the dust.
No, so I put a Grizzly 2-horsepower dust collection system in.
Yeah, and every one of those tools you mentioned has a port on the back to collect the dust.
Yes.
But, boy, when you turn the dust cleaning system on and then start the chop saw, it's noisy.
Well, not that bad, because I actually have my dust collector out on the front porch.
Okay, and ran a hose through somewhere?
Yeah, I have 4-inch ducting all through the
PVC pipe or something. Actual duct work?
Yeah, duct work.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, see, I did the same thing with my compressor. I put the compressor in a storeroom way down the building.
Yeah.
And you can turn the compressor on and be in the shop, and you have air, but you can barely hear that compressor coming off and on.
Which is a good thing.
And it so happens that the electric box, my electric box for this building is in my shop, and I had them run a wire to that plug for the compressor, and so I can turn the air compressor off and on by remote control from the shop now. You know,
that's slick.
Which works pretty good. But you can.
I was planning that. I forgot. I do have a compressor, and I use pneumatic nail guns.
Yeah. Well, what do you have? You have a framing gun, or you?
I have. A Porter Cable.
Little tacker.
Yeah, I have a BN200. It's we'll take a 2-inch brad, and then I have the 250, the finish nailer.
I think that's what your little Porter Cable is that I'm going to put in the shop. That shoots a 2-inch staple.
Shoots a little 2-inch, they call them brad nails.
Yeah, brads, yes.
Brad nails. If you're building birdhouses, they're the greatest thing in the world because you can't pound. Blind guy hits his thumb quite often trying to pound those little bitty.
That'd be a thing to have, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've built a birdhouse or two. At different times. What else you build? What else you build? Any furniture?
Well, I made a vanity for my bathroom.
Oh, man.
And right now I'm in the process of making a, well, I'm going to be making three of them until I'm done with it, but I'm making a small TV stand for my daughter, and then I'm going to make one for my other daughter.
Yeah.
And then the last one's for me. You know, that one's going to be out of cherry. So I...
Lenny, I wonder if you, since you had the vision problem all your life, but, you know, gradually lost it at some point, did you take any special training or have somebody in your family? Your dad was a carpenter or a builder, or did you just do it on your own?
No. Let's see. When I was in eighth grade, that must be close.
That was a day or two ago, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be 60 this month, so it was a little bit.
Is that right?
There had we had a little bit of a wood shop in school that I'd play with a lathe and bandsaw and stuff. And other than that, I never had any hands-on. So it's
And was this a school for the blind?
No, I was a public school.
Just a public. You went to public school?
Yes.
What did you do for an occupation when you worked? I guess you retired.
Yeah, I'm retired now. I was a computer systems analyst for Pennsylvania Department of Transportation.
A computer systems analyst?
Yes.
Well, they sent you somewhere to learn that, didn't they?
Yes. I went to Computer Systems Institute in Pittsburgh in 1967.
Whoa.
In 67?
Wow.
So you got into computers early.
Way early.
Man.
Didn't you?
I didn't.
Man.
I was around in 67, but I didn't know they made computers other than that album the guy did with the computer where he let the computer play the music. That's all I knew about. I didn't know that.
Man.
67. And so, and you went to work for the state and worked for them all the rest of your life.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's really good.
Getting on the ground floor now.
And you actually can build some real furniture, not as opposed to the rest of us who just kind of, I build dog houses and picnic tables, but I've never built anything you could put in the house.
That was a vanity. I'm really proud of that piece. You know, I also made a mirror for over the vanity.
Yeah, made the frame for the mirror?
Yeah. And I buy them... Boy, one of the things, a tool I just bought that I love, it's a jig. I bought it through MLCS. It's a company in Philadelphia. They sell router bits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a jig that will make pocket holes for putting screws for framing, for putting your face frames together. Mm. And that thing is really slick the way it works. You clamp your wood in it, and it holds it actually guides the drill bit on an angle, so it'll make it'll actually make like a groove, and then the hole for the drill head to go or the screw to go into to screw it together. And that really saved me a lot on this entertainment center I'm making.
Oh, this is where you actually the screw is actually kind of up in a slot.
Yes.
I've seen that done, but I never knew exactly how they did it. I thought, where did I see? I saw tables that was like that. Do you do it from the screw hole side of the wood or from where the slot is?
From the slot.
And it makes the slot and then drills a hole in this small piece of wood.
Shot. You clamp the wood in and then there's... The part where the drill bit will go down in goes, I don't know what degree, taper or angle it's on.
Yeah, but it is an angle.
It's angled.
Yeah.
So that when you run your drill bit down through it, it starts making that slot and it goes deeper and it actually will center that screw in a 3/4-inch stock, piece of wood.
Okay, but then I was going to say, then it has to, once it makes the angle, then it has to turn straight to make the hole for the screw.
No, it actually, that whole screw goes in on that same angle.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. So when you're putting your face frame together, the screw, as though it looks like it's going in straight, it's actually going in there on...
At a little bit of an angle.
Yeah, it might be like about a 15-degree angle, I would guess.
Yeah, but it keeps from splitting that wood. And this goes on the end of your router?
No, this one, you use a hand electric drill with it. you clamp it in there, and it's when the drill bit's down in. There's a stop collar on the drill bit.
Yeah.
And you just put in your hand drill, the wood's clamped in place, and just run that drill down, and take a couple seconds, you have that hole drilled.
What is the wood clamped onto?
The unit itself will hold it. There's a clamp that will hold the wood against the drill guides.
This is something you'd almost have to see, too.
Yeah, you almost have to see it. And
How did you get onto this? Did you know what you wanted and explain to somebody what you wanted, and they said, oh, well, this is what you need? I mean, how would you...
I've been buying all my router bits from this MLCS.
Mm-hmm.
And then since I bought a couple, they send some emails of promotions.
Uh-huh.
And what's really nice, their shop, they have guys in the shop that you can call and talk and ask them any questions. And when I saw this pot, I think it was called a screw pocket jig, I believe that's what it was called.
Okay.
And I called and asked them about it. And well, I made a trip to this shop. When I bought my router table, I went down.
Mm-hmm.
They're near Philadelphia. So we drove down, and I got to meet the guys and stuff. So when I called down, I said, okay, now explain to me exactly how this thing's going to work. they'll take the time to explain it. And the other nice thing, buying from them, that you can return it if it doesn't work, but I haven't had to return anything yet.
And you had seen this done, but you didn't know what it was called or how to do it.
Right. I used to see those now and then, and some furniture.
Yeah.
And I always wondered how it was done. And when I saw this jig, well, I used to watch the Yankee Workshop a lot. And,
oh, yeah.
Now, he had
one
that hooked up to a router that, that thing was extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And,
He
said this thing was, this was about $99 I paid for it.
And, well, of course, once you start doing stuff like this, I mean, every place I go, I look at, I want to feel up under the table and see how it's put together. You're looking under the chair, to try to see exactly how they did this or how they put the table. I know people think you're dumb, and it's okay. But now that I, have done a few things, I want to know how things are put together. And I've seen these slotted screws up in slots. And always wondered, how did they do that hole to do that?
Yeah, me too.
The tables at Crown Colony, at the club where we go on Wednesdays, are put together with those.
Really?
Those kind of deals. So, how much was this apparatus to make these slotted screw holes?
I'm sorry, how much was it?
What was the price?
$99.
Is that right? And you just use a hand drill.
Yes.
To do an electric hand.
Yeah.
It'd be the deal to have now if you were.
Yeah. If you were really serious about building furniture, it'd be a nice.
Sure.
Would be a nice addition.
I love it. When I first got it, I'm looking at, why did I buy this thing? Until I started using it.
It grows on you.
Yeah. bought tools and wondered why. Why did you bother? Of course, our motto is we think of projects are excuses to buy tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Plumbing project is an excuse to buy plumbing things and electrical the same way. Any project you do is a reason that you need new tools.
Need this or that.
My wife really made fun of my air compressor till she wanted her tire aired up, and then isn't this wonderful?
Another thing I make too is I make these little plant tables out of white oak.
Uh huh.
And they stand about 18 inches tall, and the top would be roughly 9-inch square with a 6-inch ceramic tile in the center.
Oh, really? What do you make? You make a frame and to put around it? I mean, you don't cut a hole out of a board.
No. What I do is I have rails and stiles for the, I use an inch and a half rail and style for the outside.
Yeah.
And then for the aprons, again, I use an inch and a half stock. And what I do in there, I have for my table saw a couple of years ago, I bought a molding cutter.
Really?
And there's a three-bead slot. So I'll take a long piece and run down and put nice three-beaded groove on the side.
Okay.
And then cut those down for the aprons. And then I use 1 inch, you know, 5/4, you know, 1 inch square for the legs.
Yeah.
And even when I go to do those, I found a way that really made it simplified for me. I make I cut the aprons approximately a half inch longer than I really need, and then I'll cut on three sides, use the router table and make like a rabbit cut around. So I actually bake not a full tenon, but like, you know, 3/4 of a tenon, or the top is.
Rather than just doing mitered corners, you actually do a tenon joint.
Well, it's not truly a tenon because, but then when the top, I only have that cut out on three sides. Then I take the legs and I'll run those down the router table and put a rabbit, or like a dado cut, 1/4 inch wide, 1/4 inch deep.
Okay.
About an inch and three eighths inch long, I guess. And then I just, a little bit of glue, and just slide those pieces into it.
Mm. Fit them together.
Yeah. So it gives me a strong, it's almost like a tenon, but it truly isn't, you know, I don't have the tenon and jig to do that. But
yeah,
again, so when I read things, instead of using a tenon, I can do this and get the same effect, and it's just as strong.
Now, this steel that's on your table saw, it cuts three grooves at once.
Yes.
In a board. You could do that with a router table, but you'd be constantly resetting the fence, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, it'd be miserable to try to set it up.
It'd be horrible. It'd be horrible. So this cuts three little grooves and has three different blades. Are they adjustable, or are they fixed, or are they...
It's a fixed blade on that one. But yeah. There's a whole bunch of different cutters with it. You can make...
And it just fits on the shaft of your table saw?
Yeah.
I'll have to see one. I've never seen
really
one.
Neat.
But it does sound really neat.
I bought that thing at Sears quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
You have a lot of tools and jigs and accessories, don't you?
When I come see Boop, I'll have to ride over there and visit with you. We got a good friend named Boop that lives in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. You know where that is? It's right out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I said that's about 300 miles away from.
And we've got a good friend that works at Carnegie Mellon University that's on our both lists that lives in, of course, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's
Dan Rossi is on both lists. Have you joined the Blind Handyman list?
I didn't know about it until yesterday, and
yeah,
I saw your notice come through. In fact, that you joined, I think that's great.
You're the kind of guy we need on that list.
Thank you.
To help answer questions and help us novices to try to learn what's really going on.
I would say you're the best outfitted with tools of anybody we've had on recently.
Of anybody we've had on a good while.
And fairly knowledgeable, because like I say, I have fairly good partial vision, but some of those table saws and routers I'm afraid of.
Yeah. All right, Lenny, we're gonna go, and this will be on this weekend on ACB Radio. Do you? I guess you have you're a computer guy. You know how to do those kind of things, right?
Oh, yes.
Good deal. Well, we appreciate you, sir. You've been a great guest, and look forward to seeing your post on the list.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to attempt your last name, Lenny. Thank you, sir. We appreciate
it. That's easy.
All right, sir. We'll talk with you. Let's take a little short break and come back and. Surely somebody's got something to talk about.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. Well, Don Patterson always has something to talk about, doesn't he? Don?
Yes.
Don. Are you there?
Yes.
We'll be right back in just a minute. Hang on. microphone is trying to get away from me. Donald?
Yes, sir.
How are you? Let's see. I want to try something here before we get too carried away. Let's see if this works.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
All right. Well,
see, how was that? Was that cool or what?
Yeah, a friendly voice from the past.
All right.
Yeah.
That's Jack Gardner. He lives in,
Pennsylvania, probably.
No.
Pennsylvania.
He doesn't live in Pennsylvania.
Maybe we can get him as a guest.
He lives in, I can't remember where. He lives in Reno, Nevada.
Ah.
Ah. All right. All right, what are we going to talk about?
Well, last week or so, we talked about that I'd finished the ceiling in the pavilion.
Yeah.
Some almost probably 700-plus square feet.
Good heavens.
Of this notched pine, 6-inch boards, tongue and groove. Got it all trimmed out with a small crown molding, and it looks really good.
Yeah.
And on over there, what I call the dog pen, you know, is the same size structure, except minus the two rooms, which would be sheetrock. So actually, you would have about 800 feet of ceiling in this one, rather than more ceiling to deal with than the pavilion.
Yeah.
Out of one material.
Yeah.
And so I am going to, the same fellow that did the ironwork for me, for my framing, we are going to put up a 29-gauge metal roofing, like for the ceiling, and the 29-gauge, since it's going to be covered, actually, will not be exposed in the weather. It's just really going to be a decorative ceiling. It should be heavy enough to work out. I'm going to get it pre-painted. It will be white, so I'll never have to paint it.
And now, will this be this
corrugated? Not tin like with the rolls, you know, where it rolls. The ribs in this one are more square.
Yeah.
In other words, it goes flat and then a little inch tall ridge or so, you know, has a kind of a design to it.
Uh-huh.
And I picked this. It's a lot cheaper, believe it or not, than the pine per square foot. Maybe half. Of course, then I'm going to have to pay a little more in labor.
Will this be the roof or will this just be the ceiling?
This will be the ceiling. You know, the roof is already there. The composition shingles.
On the dog pen?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, it's been. Yeah, it's all gabled, and I'm ready after this to pour the concrete. Of course, we have a little problem. You know, my wife loves cars, and she changes cars periodically, and she'll get this one and that one, and she really kind of fooled everybody this time. She bought a Discovery, a Land Rover Discovery. Well, it's a 2000 model. It's in fairly, really excellent shape as far as looks and everything.
But it's tall.
The problem with the car is it has a rack on it. I mean, it's just like something out of Africa. It has a rack. You could put a 5-piece band on top of it and go down the road. But it also, with the rack, makes it 7 feet, 4 inches tall.
Yes, and you don't have a garage.
I have 3 garages, and the top of every one of them opening is 7 feet.
Uh-huh.
So we are going to make part of the dog pen now, the Discovery garage. I probably won't, it'll be more carport than garage. But when we pour the concrete, I have to make sure that we don't exceed, I mean, that we leave 7 feet, at least 7 feet over there to get the car on. But just a little minor annoyance, you know, most cars are pretty standard in heights. And if this one didn't have the rack on it, you wouldn't have a problem. But with this rack,
most people don't buy 7-foot tall cars.
That's true.
It's tall. Anyway, that's the next deal. After we were going to put the ceiling on at the end of this week. However, it looks like the weather's going to kind of go south on us.
Oh, yeah.
Might be sometime next week when it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to tomorrow night and Thursday. I think Thursday's going to be rainy, and then it's going to be really cold this weekend.
Well, this guy is one of these good old East Texas boys. He won't work if it's below 50.
Yeah.
And he won't work if the wind's blowing more than a mile an hour, and he won't work if it's cloudy, won't work if it's before noon.
And he drinks a lot of beer.
No, actually, he does. That's why I don't understand about him. He doesn't drink. I mean, I think I'd like him a lot better if he drank, you know.
Yeah.
But
Well, you had Robert John. He did the drinking for you.
But anyway, after this, and we pour the concrete, that will, and then about the only big project I have is to run electricity to the pavilion, which is just a matter of burying probably a number four wire and putting it in conduit.
Wait a minute. You've got this this music room you're going to build.
Well, it doesn't need anything except just the closed in that garage opening. I mean, and we're going to do that with one prefabbed wall that this guy's going to order for me. He's going to measure it, order it, and install it.
And this is still going forward. Still moving forward with that project.
Yeah, but it's going to be the last thing. The last thing probably I do.
That's probably will be the last thing you do. I've met your wife. And listen, Don, we're going to go, and thank you so much. And
All right, man. Hope
you get well. All right, we'll talk with you.
We'll see y'all.
Okay.
Hope he gets. He's had more flu.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've never met anybody that had the flu as often as that boy does.
Yeah.
Well, we've done another one. We're going to do one more before Christmas, and we'll take about 5 weeks off for Christmas and run. We've got plenty of shows to run. So
that's not a problem these days, having shows up to run.
We'll run some old shows, and we're going to take off. I think next week is the, let's see, Friday's the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, about the 5th. We're going to do that, and then we'll be back on about the 9th of January. I believe that's true. Anyway, we're going to talk about 5 weeks off, so we will do one more exciting show, and I know you're all glad to hear that.
Yeah, they can hardly wait. You know.
Thank you. Thank you, Donald Shaw, for coming. And I'd have been by myself if it hadn't been for you.
You would have been today.
I would have been today.
For sure. It'll happen one day. I just won't show up, and everybody else will be gone.
We'll not let that happen. Yeah. I need to clean this pot your mic's on because it's cutting out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Yeah, all right. I'll get some cleaner for that. Anyway, thank you, Tom Houston and Don Patterson. I'm Phil Parsons. He said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.